All right, so that was great, great tune, very bluesy sounding tune again. It's called Short Time Here. You seem to have a real, you know, bluesy kind of a style, Scott. I mean, who are some of the musicians and stuff that really inspired you when you were coming up?
I kind of grew up playing bluegrass to begin with here, but I also up in Warren County, which is probably about 10 or 15 minutes from where I'm standing at right now, there were a number of old guys that played blues, and they had some festivals out there in the spring, and some of these guys were out there playing blues, and it was fascinating to me to watch, because some of them played in an open tuning,
yeah,
you know, and just some the stuff they were laying down. I got turned on to blues just from seeing people play it live. That's how I learned how to play the blues on the harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, my brother and myself and another fellow was playing out in front of an old country store out in Kittrell, North Carolina. And there was some guys over there came staggering up. They'd been drinking this Thunderbird or something, just a little inebriated. And one of them walked up to me. I think I was about 14 years old. He said, "Boy, you don't know how to play no harmonica." But I was playing what you call this, a straight harp, sounding like a accordion kind of, an old-fashioned, you know, straight
mm-hmm.
harmonica.
Yep.
Didn't know how to blow blues on the harmonica. He said, "Give me that thing." He said, he started playing Greenback Dollar on it. But he was playing it in a D chord on a G harmonica, and I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Uh-huh.
He was bending the notes
yep.
and all that. He said, "What are you doing, man?" And he said, you suck in more than you blow out. That was my harmonica lesson.
That's the secret
and
of the harmonica.
of course, you know, he was about loaded, you know. And of course, I think he had a spit all in the harmonica. It was nasty. Then he handed it back to him. But you can. I said, "No, man,
you keep it.
Yeah, so that was, you keep it. I think you were showing me how to play that. But that was... Yeah, that was my blues harp lesson.
Yeah.
And,
well, it looks like that lesson stuck, because you're still playing that blues pretty well out there.
Yeah.
Now, I understand.
Yeah, I like blues.
I understand you went down to Texas recently to
actually
record with Willie Nelson's studio. What was that all about?
Yeah, went down there. We went to a symposium, and we went to Willie's studio out in Lubbock, Texas. And did some recording out there, and I met Merle Haggard's guitar player, he's from down in Louisiana. He asked me about this blues thing we were talking about. He said, "Man, have you ever been to Louisiana?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, the kind of music you're playing, it sounds like the stuff I grew up listening to." I thought that was kind of cool. He said he had a kind of blues feel, same thing you said,
yeah,
you know, about the music. We're actually going back out to Austin in April. And I'm going to play at Merle Haggard's birthday party.
Oh, cool. That'd be great.
April.
Yeah. But, take some pictures while you're
there.
We went
to Willie's place last Thursday.
Uh-huh.
He's got a 400-acre compound outside of Austin. And movie sets there, and buses. And he's got a recreated old West town where he's filmed that movie, Red-Headed Stranger, and I think some other
mm-hmm.
Cowboy movies have probably been filmed out there. But his studio is in one of the buildings that sits on the movie set. It's called Willie Nelson World Headquarters. It looks like an old cowboy hotel. And you walk in, it's got all this memorabilia everywhere. Pictures, letters from the presidents, Golden Globe Awards. All this stuff is just laying out there, just scattered out there, you know.
Amazing.
And I'm going like, I'm in Willie Nelson's playhouse.
Yeah.
You know, that was just... a lot to take in when you first walked in.
I bet. He's done it all. He knows everybody, and they know
yeah.
him.
And what blew my mind the most, I said, well, when I go to Willie's studio, I envision this big supersonic state-of-the-art studio with this big long console
yep.
and all this. And it's nothing like that at all. It's a little room in the back. Looks like an old pack house or the back of a barn, a real rustic, just like the back of an old house. And he's got some chairs in there, and he's got some very expensive microphones hanging in there,
mm-hmm.
and some very expensive recording equipment. But his computer, you know, he can put it on the top of a desk.
Yeah.
You know, yes. But his engineer, Matt Hubbard, he was running the session, and he played some harmonica and some piano on one of the tunes. And
nice.
But all I could think about is, you know, I'm sitting here in Willie's chair and singing in his microphone.
Yeah, that's great.
It just blew me away.
It's hard to imagine all the people have been through that place. I'll bet you all the superstars you can think of have been through there.
He made a lot of gold records back there.
Yeah.
In that same room, on that same equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Price, Webb Pierce, a bunch of these old Nashville people.
Yeah.
From back in the 50s and 60s, 70s. They recorded down there with Willie. He's made bukus of albums and songs. He's played with everybody in the world.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear those guys down in Texas still can enjoy some Carolina blues, too.
Yeah, I really like the people out there. They're real, real nice to me and my wife. I've been out to Nashville a time or two, not long enough to get my feelings hurt, but it's just a total different mindset to me out west than it is in Nashville. The people, even though there's like a million people in the Austin area and thousands of musicians, they all seem to be supportive of each other.
Yeah.
And they try to help each other. There's none of that politics or backstabbing or none of that stuff going on. Like,
that's good.
Like it is in Nashville.
That's pretty rough in Nashville at times. You got that right.
Yeah.
Especially the songwriting business gets a little tough out there once in a while. Well, you got some other. You mentioned you're a little bit of a computer geek. That's good to hear. And I was looking at your website up on garageband.com. And I liked one of the songs there. I want to throw it in the podcast for everybody tonight as a bonus track. You had one up there I really liked. It's called "I'm Gonna Burn the Crack House Down." And then where'd that song come from? That's a good one.
That was from conversations, probably. You know, you sit around and you talk to people, just regular people like myself, and they talk about things on the news. They talk about drug problems and crime and they cut to the chase. You know, you hear people say, like, you know, they need to take these people out and lock them up or hang them or whatever it is. It's kind of like the old mindset, like they had back in the 1880s, you know. It's kind of a common man's thought processes on how to solve the crime problem.
Yeah.
I just got thinking about it. You know, somebody said, man, somebody needs to go around here and just burn all these crack houses down, just run them away from here.
Yeah.
You know, and quit letting them ruin the neighborhood. So I wrote that song, "I'm gonna burn the crack house down," kind of a along those lines of one solution to the drug problem.
Oh, yeah. It's the blues man solution. You know, a lot of old blues songs had that kind of a do-it-yourself solutions in them, so that one has it too. It's really good. All right, I'm going to play that song for everybody right now. Next up, off of the GarageBand.com site, here's Scott's song. It's called "Burn the Crack." I'm going to burn the crack house down.
Trouble but I can't lay down no more. Catch me sleeping while the wolf's scratching at my door. I'm gonna burn. I'm gonna burn the crack house down. Yeah, I'm gonna burn. I'm gonna burn that crack house down.
So we're back again. Good song, Scott. Really appreciate your talking with us tonight, and the good music, and you're a real Piedmont blues man. It's great to have you as part of our co-op and as our champion. If you want to give a shout out to anybody, now's your chance.
Many people, and I can't even begin to thank all the people that was involved in that. In the songwriting co-ops contest, they were all so nice. Jamie sent me some nice emails. You, just everybody. I'd have to get a piece of paper and read off the list, because I wouldn't want to start naming people and leave somebody off.
Sure.
Just everybody that had anything to do with that contest, I really appreciate it.
You bet. They're all going to hear it from you right off of this podcast. I guarantee you that. So it's nice of you to say so. Well, again, Scott, thanks a lot for being with us. Let me just mention to everybody, you can get a link to Scott's web pages at my webpage. Mine is www.goldhat.net. Scott has his own www.thomasscottpierce.com. And on my webpage and his webpage, you'll be able to find links to GarageBand and some other interesting stuff, the North Carolina Songwriters Co-op website, and other things that have to do with what we've talked about tonight. So, Scott, really appreciate you coming on with us. And thanks again for entering our contest, and congratulations on being the winner.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate you having me on the show, and I wish you the best in your endeavors with your music and production. And I'll tell as many people as I know to tune in and check your site out as well.
Very good.
I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks.